Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Kathy Lambert on the show today. Kathy is the CEO and co-founder of Connections to Success, a nonprofit organization that provides a comprehensive network of services and support to help people living in poverty become economically self-sufficient. Kathy, I am so delighted that you made the time to be with us today. I think you and I first met, goodness.
A long time ago.
And we've just remained friends. And I'm just so excited about what you're doing. I can't wait for our listeners to hear more about your story.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Growing up, what was growing up like
for
you?
Wow, growing up, I grew up in a small little town in northern Indiana, about 4,000 people. I was never raised Amish, but my background is Amish. My grandparents, my cousins are all Amish. My dad was an entrepreneur at heart. He had a carpet business, and after he had a carpet business, then he had the dairy industry, and cows are really big up there.
So he
did this, what they called surge business. So it was, instead of milking the cows by hand, they did it electrically. So
it was
he did that. And then later in years, he had an Electrolux business where he fixed vacuums. So I think he was very entrepreneurial. My mom stayed at home for a while, and then she ended up working in a dress shop. So she was working almost full-time as I was growing
up. So that's where you get your amazing style, because you're always so
stylish. You know, I never thought about that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You watched your mom in the dress shop.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you.
Education background? What was your education background?
So my education background, I went to high school in our town, which was Northwood High School, graduated, and I went to Ball State University and got my degree in social work and criminal justice. So I never, and it's so funny, you know how you can look back at your life? And you can see, you know, oh, this is why I did all this.
How the dots connect.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I never did anything with it until
I started
Connections. Yeah. Connections to Success. So it's been really interesting. But it was a great journey growing up.
Well, I want to spend a lot of time on Connections to Success, but I know that you didn't just graduate from college and start Connections to Success.
Right.
So I kind of want to talk about the whole journey leading up to that. So what did you do after college?
So after college, I actually lived in Kirksville, Missouri for a while. I lived there and I worked at the university. And believe it or not, I was actually a secretary, probably the worst secretary in the world. And I left there and went through, I was married at the time and had gone then through a divorce. Ended up working with a dentist. And the dentist and his wife just showed me everything of the practice. And I worked with him. He and his wife moved to St. Louis. And they asked if I would move here. So I did, picked up and moved. Soon after I moved here, I met my husband, who I've been married to now for 31 years. And then I went into healthcare. I worked with a major healthcare system, SSM, and I worked with them locally with their physician relations department. And then I worked out of their corporate office. And at the time, which was a long time ago, they set up their physician relations recruiting division for their system at the time. Then we had our son Then I decided to stay home, and that lasted about 2 months. And I was trying to do everything, and finally I was volunteering. I was doing all kinds of stuff, and my husband looked at me and said, you know what? It's okay to go back to work. It's okay to do something. Mm-hmm. So I ended up actually starting a business with a partner in corporate training, and she taught me everything about color and style, and I kind of did the marketing pieces of it. But we worked with individuals and corporations and helping managers to move up. We did personal shopping and all of that.
You did a lot of executive presence.
Yeah, the executive presence, communication. But you know what? At the time, I knew that I loved it, loved working with my partner. But I knew I was supposed to do something more. Mm-hmm. After, you know, having our son and going back to church, I knew that there was this sense, this presence that I had that I needed to do something, and I didn't know. So I started really searching and praying, talking to people, looking for what am I supposed to do with my life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one day, I'll never forget, I bought this magazine, and I opened it up. I started reading an article about Dressed for Success New York, and I thought, oh, this is great. This has to do with the industry I'm in, with my partner. But as I was reading the article, it was about providing interview clothing to women that were coming from difficult situations, whether it was homelessness, incarceration, generational poverty, and giving them a suit to help them to be on the same playing field as anyone else. And it was a nonprofit. And I thought, you know, this is great to do.
It pricked something in your heart, didn't
right?
it, Kathy?
Right. It really, I think, also reminded me of going through a challenging time in my life. And when I left and I didn't have anything to wear, and I remember going to the local discount, I think I went to like Salvation Army and bought a skirt and a sweater for an interview with $5. And it really reminded me how important that was and how good I felt. Mm-hmm. And so when I read that article, it brought back those memories. And then it also, though, triggered to me to think, oh, would love to do this, but not now.
Okay.
I'll do it when I retire. When I have time,
sure.
When I don't have to make money, when I can just have the time to give things away. And I thought, I'm going to save this article, put it in my basement, and I'll wait for that day to come. I did that. But what would happen, the wildest thing, I would wake up in the middle of the night.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. Have you had that experience?
Absolutely.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I just had that last night.
Really?
Yes.
And during the day, it was as if somebody had their hand on my back. And was pushing me.
You.
Yes. It is a wild experience. And it kept happening. I kept discounting everything in my head, thinking, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. The timing's not right.
Yeah.
I don't even have the funds to start something like this.
I don't know anything about a nonprofit.
I don't know. Yes.
Who am I to do this?
Right.
So I thought, you know what? I'll show my husband, who's a civil engineer at the time. And I thought, he'll think I'm crazy. He'll read it, and it'll be the end. I showed it to him, and he read the article, and he looked at me and he said, you have got to do this. You've been praying about this. You've been searching, and it's right here. And I'm thinking, oh, if he's telling me that, then maybe I need to kind of look into it. Short of the long story, I ended up going to our church and asked them if they would take it on as a mission and as a ministry. And I said, you know, if you would do this, I'll hunt the person down in New York. Then if I do this, it can be a part of the church, and I'll just help to get it started. Somebody else can take it over. So I hunted down, and at that time, it was before Google, before we could search anybody's name, right?
Because this was in 97.
This was in 97.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I called information. I think I was probably like a stalker in New York trying to hunt down Nancy Loveland, who was the founder. And I got a hold of her, found her, and we talked. And she was just amazing and said, you know what? You have to do this. There's nothing in Missouri. There's nothing in St. Louis. And if you do this, I'll help you. I thought, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but all right. So I did. I went back to our church, and they said they would welcome it with open arms. So I started at a little tiny church in St. Peter's as Dress for Success Midwest, providing interview clothing to women and helping them to go for their first job interview by providing a suit and shoes and accessories, everything they needed to go for that job interview. And everything is free to them. And it's not a handout, it's more of a hand up.
Hand up, right.
And helping them to see themselves, that visual, to see themselves differently, to see themselves successful, that they can do something different with their life.
So it really started more with the personal style or the clothing, the accessories, that sort of thing. It wasn't really about job training or skills training or interview skills.
No.
It didn't start with that. It started with the interview suit.
Right.
Now, something very interesting about this whole story is about the same time, what did Brad do?
I was learning, like you said. I didn't know about poverty. I didn't know what it was like to be a single mom and have to take a bus. And right in our backyard, I did not know, but I was learning from the women and they would share with me their different stories. When I learned about transportation, and I thought, you know, we started in St. Charles County where public transportation is non-existent. And so I thought, how can they get to their job? So I would come home every night, slam my fists on the table, and, you know, like, somebody has to do something, and I don't know why and how, why this is happening. And next thing I knew, my husband, within the first 6 months, looked at me one night, and he said, you know what? I think I'm going to do what you're doing. I'm thinking, no, you can't. You can't. For number one, you can't sue women.
Right.
And I said, you need to keep your job. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been doing research, and he said, I found this program out in Maine. It's a program called, I think, Wheels to Work or something like that. And he said, I'm going to start a transportation program. And he couldn't do it under Dress for Success because it was trademarked out of New York. So he said, I'm going to start a nonprofit and call it Wheels for Success. Thought he was crazy. I said, you know, you can—
Two nonprofits in one home.
And I told him, I said, you can do it at night and on weekends, but don't quit your job.
Right.
3 days later, he quit his job. I cried, I think, for months, but yeah.
Talk about a faith journey.
I would never recommend having two startup nonprofits in one family. But, you know, I always say God has a sense of humor, and he's what he's done throughout this whole journey that started with Dress for Success and then Wheels for Success has truly been amazing. And just keeps opening up our eyes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That hand on the back doesn't ever stop. And I always would think that it would stop, but it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps, you know, for a little bit, it kind of lets up. And it's like, okay, this is good.
Right. Because the more you learned, you know, the vision just got broader and broader, the more you learned and the more you got into this. So let's fast forward to today. So now it's not Wheels for Success and Dress for Success.
Right.
All of that is under the
umbrella of Connections to Success.
Right.
So through the journey, and what we realized is that women would come in to get their suit and they would land their jobs. After they land their jobs, they could come back and get another outfit. 90 days later after that, I would see them come back around again from a different organization to get a suit, to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this time and time again. I didn't understand, and I would ask them, kept hearing the same answer. Yes, I had a job, but I got a raise. Well, in my world, a raise was good. So I quickly learned again from them, as a single parent, this making an entry-level job. And so if we fast forward to today, so making an entry-level job, let's say it's $10 an hour, and it's a single parent that has two children. She's probably okay making that wage and also making, being able to what we call work supports, which is child care assistance, housing assistance. She's being able to get food stamps. But what happens is if she gets a 25-cent raise, 20-cent raise, those benefits and that support, they go completely away, which today is known as a benefit cliff. The challenge then is how do you go from that entry-level job to that what we call family living wage and that gap in there.
Right.
And so in 2001, Brad and I really just, number one, we almost started competing for funds because he was my grant writer. but we ended up, we merged our organizations together and we really dedicated our lives and said, you know what? We're going to try to move this needle and think about those kids. Because all I kept thinking of is those children. We're creating generations of poverty instead of economic independence.
Mm-hmm.
And why? So we merged our organizations to form Connections to Success to really address that gap between that entry-level wage and that family living wage.
Right. Well, I want to dig into that, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Kathy Lambert.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
Kathy, so now everything's under the umbrella of Connections to Success. And I know that even today, it's a much different organization. But we just talked about that entry-level wage to family living wage and building that bridge. So it's not just the interview suit. It's not just the wheels. There's a lot more in there. And I know you have said right. Education's the key. What are you doing today? I mean, let's look at everything because it's a very different organization than it was in 1997.
It is. It's very different. So today we have a holistic model. We have a 72-hour class. And that class is really on cognitive restructuring, helping them to think differently. Mm-hmm. And I always say, too, people have to have hope. You can do all the training in the world. You can do all this stuff. But if they don't have hope mm-hmm. and know that their life can be different
that
and
things
better,
can be different, right?
Right. So we start every day with a gratitude circle. And actually in all of our locations everywhere.
How many locations now, Kathy?
We have 5 locations under Connections. And then we have 10 other different replication sites,
okay.
different
right.
places. But they do this too. So we always think it's really important for all of us, not just them, but us too, to start every
mindset.
Day with a gratitude. So mm-hmm. we have our 72-hour class, and through that class, they learn about what their passion is. They learn to see what can be possible, and everything is done experiential. The average individual that walks through our doors disengaged with school by the time they were 14 or 15. They have a 3rd or 4th grade reading level. So education, school, wasn't a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we really took a look at that. We worked with Maryville University. We worked with many others and put together our curriculum. Through the class, they put together a life plan also to take a look at their life holistically. So it's not just employment, but it's education.
Mm-hmm.
It's their health. It's taking a look at their social life, their family life, their financial life. And where are they today? It looks at 9 different areas. Where are they today? Where do they want to go? And then we help them to break it down into the tiny steps to get there. And that
it's
becomes
almost
our
like
life
building
plan.
Out a life plan.
Yeah, they put together their own life plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that really becomes a living document for them.
Right.
And so it helps them, many of them, if you think about it, you know, you've had a birthday party, I'm sure, growing up, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And your kids have had
a
birthday
few.
Parties. Yeah. Many of the individuals that we serve never had a birthday party. They didn't know how to plan. And so it's helping them to break it down, and we celebrate every little step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And another part through the class is they learn about interviewing. We do personality profiles. We do skills assessment. We take them on field trips. We take them to a college campus. We take them to manufacturing plants. We take them to see, you know, what can be possible so they can actually see for themselves. Through that whole process, then we end up, we do mock interviews. They all get suited up, obviously with Dress for Success. And then we invite employers in to do the mock interviews. At the end of the 72 hours, everyone is assigned a life transformation coach. We have employment specialists to help them. Either they're going into a job, they're getting into an apprenticeship, a certificate program, or continuing with education. That's our goal when they complete mm-hmm. the 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we also walk along beside them. We have lifelong engagements. So we have mentoring. We walk with them to go from that entry-level job to that family living wage. And what does it take to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And when we go through that, and we process that with them in the class so they can see why many times they've been generationally on the system or they've been in and out of incarceration. So we know and research shows that with incarceration, the real cause is poverty. So if we can help them to see things differently and understand why,
mm-hmm.
and that why is employment. Research also shows somebody coming out of incarceration and becomes employed, the likelihood of them going back and recidivizing It's incredible.
It's very high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So employment is really key and education is key. Mm-hmm. So we really work with employers. We work with other entities to help them and our educational systems with community colleges and technical schools to help them to get the skills necessary. And as they're going from that entry-level job to that family living wage and really making that difference for themselves. And they become better role models for their children.
For their children. It really, truly is a generational thing.
It is.
Because, I mean, I know that you say somewhere that one in three women
live in poverty.
If they can break that cycle, the chance that their children will not follow in those same footsteps.
Absolutely. We had started a professional women's group, and it was designed for the women once they land their jobs to help them to continue to move forward. Because also there's two causes of why they stay in poverty. It's isolation and depression. And so the women were telling me early on, they said, we don't know how to move forward. When we're in that job, how do we go
to the next level?
Right.
How do we show up so that we can keep this job once we have it?
And you think about your network. And I thought about my network and all the different women's organizations I was a part of. I asked myself, what if we started our own professional women's group, but geared for entry-level women with the goal of building leadership skills, with the goal of helping them to really, it'd be their organization, not ours. We could be supporting it. It took 5 years to get there. But today, our professional women's group is led by all the women themselves. And it's such a wonderful, phenomenal group. And now they're teaching their children, right?
That's wonderful.
And they're involved with their kids' schools. Mm-hmm. And they're helping them to move forward. It's amazing now. We've been doing this long enough. Families that started with us when their kids were little. Today, their children have not only graduated from high school, but they've started businesses. They've gone on to college. They're homeowners. They're getting married and having their own kids, but they're not in the system.
Right. Oh, there's a lot in there. And we haven't really talked about this today, but I know, too, that women that have been helped by connections have actually launched businesses.
Absolutely.
Because we've bought some of those. I think it's called
Sweet Success.
Sweet Success is a cookie company.
Right.
And I know for years, like as thank yous, you know, we would buy the
box
of cookies. Yep. So, I mean, have there been several of those, Kathy?
We've had others. Okay. And I'm sure you know also, too, that others that have started speaking businesses, they've advanced in their careers and launched off and doing all kinds of things. We actually have one young woman who started a sickle cell foundation right here in St. Louis, Rosemary Britz, who's absolutely amazing, works with Washington University and started her own nonprofit. So I can tell you story after story after story of the women.
That's just wonderful. But I think the major difference, Kathy, in what you're doing and maybe what some other organizations are doing is that you are approaching this holistically.
Yes.
It's not just one piece. It's trying to look at the whole picture, what is needed. It's not just the wheels or the transportation. It's not just the interview suit, but it's connections. And that's why you started the professional women's group. It's all of these different things.
It is. It's all of these. And then looking at where are there gaps in services? And because we partner, I mean, we're not
all things to all people.
Right.
Right. You can't.
Not at all. I mean, I feel like we do this one little piece, but there's housing, there's food. You know, we work with so many incredible, amazing organizations throughout the region. I think we're very, very blessed here in St. Louis as well to have so many nonprofits coming together to work together. Mm-hmm. So we work with so many. We definitely couldn't do it without other support, right?
Right. I'm thinking as you were talking about the life plan. So you said there's 9 different areas.
Yes.
You're kind of the quarterback.
Yeah, that's good, right?
You're kind of the quarterback looking, okay, here's these 9 different areas. How can we help in this one? And you're pulling in the appropriate organizations
at the right time. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And we have a saying at Connections, we'll do this with you, but we're not going to do it for you. So we're helping them and teaching them how they can do this.
Absolutely.
And just like that life plan, it's their plan. It's not our plan.
Right.
We'll help support it. We'll help provide mentoring. will coach you along the way.
But it provides that framework.
Absolutely.
And that's what they may not have taken the time to develop, is
right.
the
they
framework.
Didn't know. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know why it would be yeah. important to do that.
Well, I just love what you're doing, Kathy.
Oh,
I just love what
you.
You're doing. And I hope there's a lot of listeners out there that get their hearts pricked as well and can get involved. But let's talk about, so you had something on your bucket list.
I did.
I'm sure you have a long bucket list, but one of the things that you wanted to do was be a TEDx speaker, right?
Right.
And you had the opportunity to do that. Scariest thing in the world. Was that a couple years ago?
It was a couple years ago, right? And I just got a call, asked if I would think about doing it and if I would do it. And I said I would do it if I had a coach. And I said, I know nothing about how to do this. So I did get a coach from New York, and she was tough. But we did these coaching calls every week, and I felt like every week I was redoing it. Like, no, that's not right.
Oh, my goodness.
She was so good mm-hmm. that by the end of the time, I was really prepared and timed, and she really made me think. Like, she dug deep.
I was going to say, it kind of makes you dig deeper.
And she kept lifting things out. And I shared my own experience in there, which I don't talk about, like, my own experience when I was married before. And she dug that out of me. And I just remember, I thought, oh, that was, like, the scariest thing I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like out there naked.
Right. Vulnerable. That's what I'm thinking, you know. But I'm sure, though, Kathy, that is how you connected to the audience. Because I always say you have to have some level of vulnerability because the audience, if you're an audience first,
right,
when you're speaking, you want your audience to say, oh, she's like me. You know, not entirely, because everyone has a different story. But
right.
they've got to see that, no, this is an authentic person. They've got struggles, too.
Right.
And so it's important to have that vulnerability.
And I feel like that it was also great to be able to share. So I think in there, too, I shared about going inside the prison for the first time.
Yes.
And helping to really educate people, because that's something that I didn't know. And when I was asked, actually by the state of Missouri, and this was so many years ago, if I would go in and maybe talk with them about how to do something differently, I thought, no, because all I could think about was television. Right?
And what we see on television.
Yes, what we see. But I went inside, and I just remember going in for the first time, and I was scared to death. But when I got in and I met with this group of women and listened to them talk about what they wanted to do with their lives and talked about the kids and their dreams that they have for their kids. I mean, Lisa, I thought, they're just like me.
We're more alike than
by the grace mm-hmm. of God, go I. And so when I walked out of there, I just remember thinking, what happens to the women when they leave? And this was clear back in like 2002. I went and I found out that there was a halfway house for women. And at the time, there were two. And so I went and talked to the woman that was a director of a halfway house. And I asked her to explain to me what happens. And she said, well, you know, Kathy, when they come, they usually either wear their prison uniform or they wear the clothes they were incarcerated in. She said, I throw them a phone book. They have to get a job in 2 weeks. They have to go and see their probation officer within 72 hours. They have to take a bus. I mean, she kept going on with this litany of things. And I sat there. I was thinking of the women.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how can they do this? And I asked her, I said, how can they do this?
Mm-hmm.
She said, they can't. She said 85% of the women ask me to send them back. So just kind of like when I read that article the first time, A Dress for Success,
right.
when she said that to me, it was like my heart was pierced. And I thought, okay, I don't know what we're getting into.
What this means or how we're going to do it.
But we have to do it.
Right.
And I thought, how can we mm-hmm. have people coming out of incarceration that want to go back?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I kept thinking of their children. Because if we look at their kids are 7 to 8 times more likely to repeat if we don't help to change that. So that started the whole journey. And our training today, we take it inside the institutions. So being able to work pre-release and help them with mentors, help them to be able to get connected. So upon that transition, they want to stay out. They have a plan. They feel good about who mm-hmm. they are.
Mm-hmm.
And having that support to know that they can do it with education and skills training.
Amazing. What an awesome, awesome story. I'm so grateful that you're here and you're sharing this. So this is something extra.
Yes.
What do you believe, Kathy, is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think every leader needs, I think, a servant's heart. I think every leader needs to look to lead with curiosity. And that's something that I've had to learn over the years. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have the courage to take a stand for what's right mm-hmm. when nobody else agrees.
Even when
agrees.
No one else agrees. That's right.
And not be afraid to challenge the system and to stand up for what's right. Mm-hmm. I think that that's probably been the biggest thing, too, that I've learned and what I've seen with other leaders is leading is tough. I think that to be able to lead effectively, the leader needs to know who they are and where they're coming from. And once that person knows, for example, for me, once I know where I'm coming from, and then to be able to impart it also on other people. Mm-hmm. So I always look to, and I look at you and the great team that you've built, and I've admired you all these years. You've mentored me without knowing it. But I look at other leaders, and I think that's a gift that leaders give others, is helping to seed and other leaders and raising them up.
Absolutely. Don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
I mean, how many women have you guys helped?
So we've helped over 30,000 women.
30,000
women throughout the years.
That's
through
incredible.
Our holistic, that's through our Dress for Success program. And then with our holistic model, over 15,000. And so we've impacted the lives of, I mean, roughly, if you look at that, probably about 90,000 children. You know, and it's funny that you asked me this question because I feel like for the last 22 years, my husband and I joke about this, is that we've been in this tunnel, that we've been doing this almost 24/7. And so you just do what's in front, right? And then when I sit back and I look at it, it's really overwhelming.
Right. But I think it's good to step back and look at it.
It is.
You know, because you want to celebrate that. And that brings me to another point. You can read about Kathy. She has received so many accolades, and she and Brad have received so many different awards. And I know that is not at all why you do what you do. But I do believe that you have impacted 90,000 children, 30,000 women with the dress. I mean, that is a Chesterfield. That's two Chesterfields.
Wow. I didn't think of it that way.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, that's
yeah.
amazing. And the thing is, with you impacting that group, I mean, it is, I call it the gift of multiplication because
right.
it's just going to continue to grow because you affect that group and then that group has children and then they affect that generation.
Right.
I mean, it's beautiful. I'm so glad that you answered that prick in your heart
well,
in 97.
Thank you. It's been really a blessing. And we've been really blessed throughout the years to have a couple different outside evaluations on our model. So we've been able to prove the results. And now we're getting ready to launch our training and our model on a digital platform. So we've actually, our goal for the future is not to have connections everywhere, but if we can teach other organizations and other communities to get the same results mm-hmm. that we've had and helping them to have that, it's really an economic investment, right?
And it is.
In their communities. And mm-hmm. so we have several now replication sites, and that's our big hairy goal that's out
right.
there, helping to train other organizations and communities.
Right. It is a BHAG,
it
as
is.
You said. But, you know, we've got lots of listeners. And if a listener's out there and they're like, this is precisely what I've been looking for. This is, I want to invest. How can they get involved? I mean, you've got lots of ways to get involved.
We do. We have a lot of different ways
that
people can get involved. Find us on our website, connectionstosuccess.org. But we have so many different volunteer opportunities with mentoring. We have a professional women's group, men's group. Every Monday night, we also have Connect Group, which that's where the families come together. We provide a meal. Always looking for people to help out with meals. Food is a big part of what we do. You know, breaking bread together.
Sure.
It's like a big family. Also, people can donate clothing to us. We also take men's clothing as well as women's clothing. And your vehicles, we will gladly take your vehicle that we can re-donate it to another family. And you can take it as a tax deduction because we don't sell it. We award it. So we're always looking for people to donate vehicles as well. And then in March, we have our big celebration. We do one celebration a year in St. Louis, then also in Kansas City. And it's called our Tribute to Success. So we honor women and inspiring stories throughout the St. Louis region. And that is, I hope I have my date right. I think it's March 7th.
Is that on the website?
It should
Kathy?
Be on the website,
okay.
Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you again for being here. Oh, this has just been so much fun.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.